Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So even if the debt ceiling is raised as expected, many economists insist the real problem facing the country is the lack of jobs. Many regular people, like maybe you, who don't have jobs, certainly feel that way. The national unemployment rate is at 9.2%, and a recent Wall Street Journal analysis of Labor Department numbers revealed that more than a quarter of those without jobs have been unemployed for over a year. Worse yet, the long-term unemployed face an additional hurdle. Job ads that state that employers would consider only the currently employed or recently laid off. New York Times economics reporter Catherine Rampell has written about the proliferation of these ads, and she joins me now. Catherine Rampell, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks.
This is outrageous on its face to so many people. People listening right now are thinking, wait, there are people out there who are unemployed, long-term unemployed, and then there are want ads saying you can't apply for help wanted ads. Who does this and why?
I think the intention on the part of employers, at least from those I've spoken with and recruiting companies as well, is that they view people who are unemployed, and especially those who have been out of work for a long period of time, as more likely to be inferior job candidates. You know, maybe they've been out of work for a long time because they're incompetent. Clearly, other employers have passed over their resumes.
So maybe
their skills have atrophied or whatever, and so they don't really bother to look at the individual candidate and say, you know, this is a pretty good proxy for quality.
So maybe on a statistical basis, that's true.
Right.
Maybe.
And it may or may not be, of course.
And it may or may not be, mm-hmm. of course. And maybe in the quiet of the front office, the CEO or the HR director or whoever is saying, you know, chances are that somebody who's been out of work for a long time isn't going to be our best candidate. So let's not call those people for interviews. But to put it in a help wanted ad, how is it showing up?
Different ads are using different language, but for the most part, the ads will say something like must be currently employed, or employer strongly prefers people who currently have jobs or recently had jobs, unless you had a really good reason or something like that. But they say it pretty explicitly that don't bother wasting your time or our time with sending in a resume if you do not meet this criterion.
And so we see these ads on Monster.com, CareerBuilder.com, Craigslist, lots of places, right?
Right. They're all over the internet. And even if it's not spelled out in the job ad, some workers that I've spoken with who have been on the market for a long time trying to find a job have said that they have been told as much by recruiters or employers, you know, the person who is interviewing that candidate will say, well, you know, we really want someone who has fresher skills or something like that. But they might phrase it, again, explicitly as we're really only considering people who've been out of work for less than 6 months.
So listeners, unemployed listeners, have you run up against this? Have you seen job ads that, quote, strongly prefer applicants who are currently employed? And did you apply anyway? Anybody listening who applied anyway and got one of those jobs? Any employers listening right now who feel okay about putting that kind of language in want ads? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your story or comment or question to our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Catherine, this is legal?
Legal experts that I have spoken with have basically said employment status is not a protected class in the same way that gender, age, religion, and race are. So just as an employer can say, we don't want to hire that person because he's short, or we don't want to hire that person because he doesn't dress well or whatever, it's the same kind of thing. You know, it might strike some people as unfair, but it is not a legally protected class. There are, however, a few states and actually a federal bill that are trying to outlaw these types of practices. New Jersey recently passed a law saying that you cannot have this language in your job ads. New York and Michigan are considering it, and there was a bill introduced on Capitol Hill a few months back that would outlaw this practice at the federal level. But again, even if employers don't use that language in their job postings, what's to keep them from still acting on those biases when they're considering candidates?
Right. New Jersey passed a law, though, outlawing unemployment discrimination. Mm-hmm. Governor Christie signed that law?
I believe it must have been Christie. Right?
So those ads cannot appear. Of course, a lot of, you know, a website crosses state lines. Mm-hmm. But those ads that have that kind of language, strongly prefer if you're currently working or only if you're currently working, mm-hmm. cannot appear, let's say, in the Star Ledger or in some New Jersey contexts?
You know, I'm not totally fluent in the exact provisions of the law, but my recollection
maybe it's of a New Jersey employer.
That my recollection is that it was probably New Jersey employers, and that they would be subject to a fine if they did indeed use discriminatory mm-hmm. language or otherwise be overtly discriminating against people based on employment status. But again, if it's not written down in, you know, in type or in pixels, I guess, then it would be very hard to prove, even if employers were still utilizing
more quietly doing it.
Exactly.
And here is New York State Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins proposing similar legislation in May.
Mm-hmm. Being unemployed cannot be a category that you will use to exclude people from interviews or from seeking and obtaining a job. It is very clear that when you have somebody who is trying to work, when we have unemployment numbers the way they are, to kick someone when they're down, to say that they can't even have a fighting chance because they don't have a job, only exacerbates increasing job unemployment numbers.
So again, that was New York State Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins proposing legislation similar to well, we've just heard that they have in New Jersey outlawing unemployment discrimination. So you can't overtly discriminate against people who are unemployed when looking to fill job openings. Listeners, have you ever been in this position on any side of it? If you're an employer or work in a company where this is the policy, where you want to defend this as a policy, not even giving an interview, not even or even explicitly in help wanted ads in states where it's legal, which includes still New York, saying if you're unemployed or long term unemployed, you need not apply. 212-433-WNYC. Or if you are long term unemployed and have run up against this as a barrier to getting new employment, 212-433-9692. Or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, or tweet us or write on our Facebook wall as we talk with Catherine Rampell, reporting on this for the New York Times. Are there certain types of industries or businesses that do this the most?
From my own reporting and research, it seemed that it was just across the board. I found ads for all sorts of industries, for all sorts of occupations, restaurants, hotels, tech analysts, business analysts, paralegals. You know, I think a lot of the jobs were white-collar jobs, but not all of them. And I was actually pretty surprised when I would see that kind of – I was especially surprised, I should say, when I would see that kind of language for lower-skilled jobs, like in the restaurant industry, just because the one of the concerns that employers might have about – workers having been out of a job for a long period of time is that their skills might atrophy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if you're in a dynamic industry like tech, if you've been out of work for a year or two, your industry may have changed greatly, and the types of skills you're likely that you are supposed to know may have changed. But if you're working at a restaurant, you know, those are skills that don't generally require high levels of education or credentialing, and that, for the most part, are not particularly dynamic in the types of skills that are that people are expected to know. That was where I was particularly surprised to see that employers were basically ruling out people who had been out, who are out of work simply because that argument that, you know, their skills are no longer relevant wouldn't seem to hold as much.
John in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. I just was very interested in your subject matter today because I'm among the long-term unemployed, and it just seems to me that unemployed need not apply is akin to saying to people, you know, don't waste my time, don't waste your time. And in fact, I got a better idea. Why don't you just kill yourself because you have no value as a person in the workforce.
I understand why you take it as that sharp a punch in the nose. You yourself are long-term unemployed?
Yes, just stated, yes.
And you have run up against this? Could you tell me any particular story of it?
I can't really get to a good spot at the moment, but...
Unfortunately, John, your phone is breaking up so bad. Can you get back to where you were? Because I would like to hear of how this has manifest for you. So maybe you moved and you can get back to your original spot. Try one more time. Nope. Okay, that connection is too bad now. But Catherine, you wrote in a follow-up piece to your original article that employers, in fact, may not get the best candidates by locking out the long-term unemployed.
Well, you know, on its face, if you're ruling out an entire class of people that may include some very good candidates, you know, by limiting the pool in general, you're probably going to keep out some good candidates. But the other thing that I was interested in is that if you're distinguishing between people who have been out of work for 2 years versus been out of work for a couple of months, it might sound like the person who's been out of work for 2 years is much less desirable because, hey, they haven't been able to get a job. There must, you know, other people have looked askance at their application. But if you think about it, people who've been out of work for 2 years were people who were laid off most likely when the economy was in a very bad place, when companies were shedding workers, not because the workers were unproductive necessarily or lazy or any other. Can you know any other qualities you would not want in an employee, but because simply that they did not have enough demand and they were just shedding workers left and right and not really distinguishing, not really having the luxury of only cutting the fat. So people who've been out of work for a long time are probably more likely to be candidates who are victims of the business cycle, whereas people who have been laid off only recently, when the economy isn't great, but still layoff levels are historically quite low. The problem right now is hiring, not layoffs. People who have been laid off recently are more likely to be people, statistically speaking, who are probably laid off for cause in some respect, maybe because their skill sets are no longer relevant or they weren't working hard or whatever. But because they have not been on the market for very long, the appearance is, oh, well, that is not quite as stigmatizing, I guess I should say. And again, you know, these are just sort of, this is just a theory, and I'm sure it doesn't apply to all workers. But when you dig deeper into the types of logic that companies may or may not be using when they are deciding to basically exclude entire classes of workers based on these types of criteria, it doesn't always hold up.
Here is a recruiter in the tech industry. He says, Michael in Paramus, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling, Michael.
You're welcome. How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm great. So my company does recruiting in the technology industry, and we definitely have never done anything like this. I have found that a lot of the people we're interviewing for our clients have been out of work 6 months, 18 months, And they generally are a bit disappointed when the types of jobs that they're finding are typically less pay, a lower grade, but there's still quite a bit of outsourcing and quite a bit of, you know, automation in the cloud is really replacing quite a bit of internal IT.
Did you consider explicitly saying in any of your contexts of recruiting, long-term unemployed need not apply, and decide against it for a particular reason?
Well, no. We have never actually considered it. We have discussed the value of different classes of workers, and one of them being people who are unemployed. I think that in the technology industry, people have thought through the boom that their skill set and their value is a lot greater than it was, and now employers are far pickier.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. You know, Catherine, we heard from the first caller in kind of a theoretical way how he feels like ads like this are employers saying to the long-term unemployed, you have no value at all, you might as well just go and kill yourself. Grant in Jersey City, you're on WNYC.
Hi, and yes, my brother was laid off from his job last year. He was 47, he was a CPA with a lot of experience, and he eventually took his own life after a depression that developed as a result of him being laid off from his job and being unable to find work. So one can imagine that many people who are long-term unemployed have seen this as an option for their lives, and I just think that's very tragic.
Did he feel that he wasn't getting a fair shake from employers to whom he was applying?
I don't know. I know he had some interviews and he had some prospects, but nothing ever panned out. And, you know, they're never going to tell you in an interview something like you're too old or you're too experienced or something to that effect. So you really, you know, just don't know the answer.
It must be the most difficult thing in the world, and I appreciate your courage in, you know, calling and talking about it publicly. Do you think there's any lesson in your brother's suicide for anybody else?
Well, you know, suicide has been described as a place, a dark place in the soul that a person finds oneself in, where you just don't see any other options for your life. And I would just encourage people who perhaps are in that kind of a place or approaching that kind of a place to seek help. For example, from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which has counselors that can talk with you.
Thank you very much. Again, I really appreciate you calling in with that. And Catherine, obviously that's, you know, about the worst thing that could possibly happen.
No question.
And, you know, I guess you don't want to demand that employers give people jobs out of pity or as a suicide prevention program. But on the other hand, did you ask any of these employers, do you feel this is unpatriotic, that here we are in a, you know, deep recession with a lot of, or at least an unemployment recession, with a lot of long-term unemployed Americans out there mm-hmm. who need work, and to rule out from the get-go that they even get a look? Is there something unpatriotic about that? Did you ask anybody that question?
I did not phrase it quite that way. But, you know, when I talk with employers about why they aren't hiring more in general or why they aren't hiring specific groups in particular, they generally say, look, our job, our goal is not to be putting people to work just for the sake of putting people to work or because we're nice or because it's, you know, it's an altruistic thing to do. We're only hiring people because that will make us more profitable. That's capitalism. You know, it's not sort of a moral statement. It's an amoral statement, I would say, that they hire people when they think it will make them money, when they think that person is a good investment for the future of the firm. And I don't think that to the extent employers are introducing these types of discriminatory practices, that they are doing them to be mean or to be unpatriotic. I think that they are doing them because they think they genuinely think that people with those kinds of employment statuses, backgrounds, are not going to be good for the company. I mean, whether that reasoning is correct or not is a totally separate issue.
Yes, but it does raise an issue, which obviously, you know, we're not going to settle today, as to whether an economy that positions itself as amoral is unpatriotic, is the kind of economy that Americans want. If all an employer can say is, look, my hiring practices are amoral, at this point in our nation's history, considering what's going on now, is that good enough? That's for our listeners to decide for themselves. One more call, one more comment from our website online. Sophie in Poughkeepsie says, considering unemployment is higher in minority communities, you can see who really will be affected by this policy. Real quick, because we're almost out of time. True, documented?
Yeah, actually, you know, we were talking earlier about whether this type of practice was legal, and I mentioned that that employment status is not a protected group. Actually, the EEOC has been looking into whether technically discriminating against people because they are unemployed could be a violation of law because
of disparate impact?
Of disparate impact, exactly.
Racially.
Well, racially and age-wise in particular.
Ah, and here's Andrew in Manhattan, who I think wanted to make a similar point. Andrew?
Yes, I've been unemployed for over 2 years, and I know that when I do get interviews, when I find out who gets hired, it is most often the person who has been currently working, and I find that to be very frustrating. And now I'm noticing changes in which ads are saying, we want people with 3 years of experience, but not more than 10, which is legal, but still it's able to root out people in the law. Some of the people who have been laid off were in their 40s and 50s.
Right, so you think some of this, only if currently employed, is actually a surrogate for age discrimination?
Yes.
Andrew, thank you. What about that? Only employed between 3 and 10 years, at least 3 years, but not more than 10, is that legal?
Well, you know, I'm not a legal expert, and I don't pretend to be, so I can't answer.
Have you
that.
Heard that before?
I have heard language like that. My understanding from talking with lawyers is that that is legal, although that's somewhat disputed because, again, if it disparately affects older people, that would be problematic, you know, from a constitutional point of view. And that actually, if you look back at job ads during the Great Depression, many of them specifically did say, we want a young person, we want, you know, a young man between the ages of 20 and 30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you substitute in the language now, you know, maybe the same sentiments are still around and employers are using this as a proxy.
So we have about a minute left. Is there any workaround? did you look into it at the personal, practical level? When you have been out of work for a while and you see an ad for a job that says unemployed need not apply or long-term unemployed need not apply, is there a way to get around it? Lying? Anything else?
A lot of people still apply. And actually, employers that I've spoken with, when I've questioned them and said, you know, why do you have this language? They'll say, oh, well, nobody pays attention to it anyway. We still get it. We still get tons of resumes from people who've been out of work for 2 years, which is not the most comforting response. But in any case, you know, one possible solution would be education. Assuming that people go back to school for training that actually does give them skill sets that are in high demand, then those types of industries are really less able to have the luxury of being able to discriminate simply because there's so little, the pool of labor from which they can choose is so small. So, you know, if this is an extreme example and one that's very unlikely, but if you become a neurosurgeon or something, it's unlikely that that your employment record is going to be held against you if you have that very rare skill set.
Oh, great. So I lost my job in IT. I'm 42 years old. Now I'm going to go out and train to be a neurosurgeon.
Right. Well,
right.
You know, I think that's the most extreme
but
example.
But I understand
but,
where you're
but
going.
But there might be more achievable career paths.
Catherine Rampell, covering The Unemployed Need Not Apply, Help Wanted Ads for The New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, and you can start calling now, we will have a Brian Lehrer Show, informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific referendum day exit poll for anybody in Nassau County. If you're going to vote on that new debt, yes, it's all about debt today, from Washington to Uniondale, new debt to renovate the Nassau Coliseum. Are you going to vote for that? Just when you wanted your property taxes to go down, people say this may make property taxes go up or go up more than the Cuomo limit. Then again, proponents say this is going to create jobs and economic growth. So this is an unusual Monday election day in Nassau County. It's a referendum. Islanders fans, we know you're biased. Who wants to renovate the Nassau Coliseum and have the county borrow for that? Who doesn't? How are you going to vote today if you're going to the polls? From Great Neck on East, 212-433-WNYC, Malvern, Huntington, Uniondale. Where are you in Nassau County? Mineola, call up, 212-433-9692. Williston Park, how are you voting today? 212-433-WNYC. Hello, Roslyn. Referendum Day in Nassau County. Our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Nassau County exit poll is next.